We will identify at first round of targets this week, and we're also going to impose strong exports controls.
The U.S. government takes action against the Myanmar coup. This is Friday, the 12th of February, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. You can find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, we have the latest developments from Myanmar, another day of impeachment proceedings in the U.S. Senate. Biden talks with Xi. That and more on today's VOA Asia. The U.S. slapped additional sanctions on Myanmar following a military coup on February 1st. The crisis has emerged as an early test of President Joe Biden's foreign policy as his administration pledges to defend democracy and seeks to counter China's rising influence in the region. White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Suara reports.
Protests continue in Myanmar following the February 1st military coup. On Wednesday, President Joe Biden announced he is imposing new sanctions on the country's military leaders, their business interests, and family members. Those are on top of sanctions already applied starting in 2017 for atrocities against Myanmar's Rohingya minority.
We will identify at first round of targets this week, and we're also going to impose strong exports controls. We're freezing U.S. assets that benefit the Burmese government while maintaining our support for healthcare, civil society groups, and other areas that benefit the people of Burma directly.
With few economic ties and sanctions already in place, U.S. leverage on Myanmar is limited. But sanctions targeting the junta matched by U.S. allies can be effective, according to analysts. Gregory Poling is a senior fellow for Southeast Asia at the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
Maybe in cooperation with other parties, the Japanese, for instance, who are major players in the economy, the U.S. can help shift the cost-benefit analysis a little bit and incentivize compromise and a return to democracy. But if we think that we're going to slap sanctions and Minhong Hwang is going to say, I'm sorry, we are mistaken.
Washington is working with regional allies, including Japan, India, and the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, who have signaled their support for U.S. outreach to Myanmar. Taiwei Lim is a research fellow at the National University of Singapore's East Asian Institute.
Continued engagement, prevention of isolation of Myanmar, and to have U.S. Play a constructive role in trying to reach this broad consensus.
The Myanmar coup followed accusations of democratic backsliding in the region, including in Brunei, Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, and the Philippines. Addressing them in the context of strategic competition with China is seen as a challenge for the administration, said Robert Daly, director of the Kissinger Institute on China and the United States at the Woodrow Wilson Center.
How do we compromise and play the long game and keep channels open, even with regimes that we object to? How can we do that and back off of an absolute declaration of principles in order to compete with China while still claiming that the grounds of our competition with China is in some way ideological?
The U.S. has been criticized as hypocritical for sanctioning countries after a violent siege of the U.S. Capitol by supporters of former President Donald Trump, who falsely claimed the U.S. presidential election was stolen, the same pretext the Myanmar military used for the coup. Gregory Poling of CSIS.
I don't think it was ever all that effective when U.S. officials went in to Southeast Asian states preaching, but now they'll just be laughed at.
National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says there is bipartisan support for Myanmar sanctions, but acknowledged America has work to do at home as well.
Pulling our country together, revitalizing our own democratic foundation, building more unity, as President Biden has talked about, that will be an important part of us operating effectively in the world.
Analysts say some allies may question U.S. resolve in the region, given Washington's foreign policy shifts with each new administration. Patsy Whitaker-Suara, VOA News.
This is VOA Asia. In Myanmar, protesters took to the streets for a fifth day on Wednesday, vowing to keep up demonstrations against the coup even after a woman was shot and critically wounded during clashes the previous day. To get a broader picture of where things stand, I spoke with VOA Burmese Service Chief Tan Luen Tun. We talked about the newest developments in Myanmar, which he refers to as Burma.
Military has announced wide-ranging curfew order. So that is basically night curfew, 8 8 p.m. to 4 a.m., including in a, especially in a daytime, no gathering more than five people on the street. So effectively, that street protests are kind of prohibited. And then also on Tuesday, there was a kind of bloodshed. There's a kind of forceful suppressions of the street demonstrations in Naypyidaw that seriously injured two people and another 20 people over there. And there has been a lot of arrests as well. But despite of those kind of new regulation or new restrictions and also suppression, the street, we are still seeing widespread street demonstrations in the daytime, including Rangoon, big city, and then the whole country. So as far as we see, the street demonstrations were not what I call interrupted by the security force, although there's a restriction about no more than five people allowed together on the street.
I have read that many of the protesters are some of the ethnic minorities in Myanmar, Burma. Is that indeed the case, and how is that happening?
Since the demonstrations and protests against the military takeover is nationwide, so Burma is composed of a lot of ethnic nationalities and a different divisions, different ethnic areas. So it's no wonder that we see different ethnic groups took to the streets to show their will against the military regime.
Do people who are protesting feel safe?
Since that there are no such kind of continuations of forceful suppressions after Tuesday, so general sense is that people are quite feel safe on the street, especially this time the demonstrations are in a form or a little bit of a kind of a new form of demonstrations. I have to say that it has been arranged by the those people, young people, so-called name themselves as a kind of Generation Z generation. So they are young people. They are not actually is a follower or a kind of a member of any kind of political parties. They just want to express their will against the military takeover or military rule in the country. So mostly they are quite well-to-do and a kind of a new media savvy people. So they exchange information on the kind of internet and social media, and then they take the kind of a creative forms of demonstrations or protests. It's like a parade. So Burmese government or military seem to be honest, you know, allow these people showing in that way about their will. But at the same time, there's another separate movement called civil disobedient movement. That is a little bit more serious. All those people are what I call refuse to go to the workplace.
VOA Burmese Service Chief Tan Luen Tun speaking with us via Skype. We are happier with us on VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Here in Washington, House impeachment managers Wednesday showed never-before-seen footage from the January 6th riot of Trump supporters at the U.S. Capitol. The video capped the first day of Democrats' opening argument that former President Donald Trump was directly responsible for the attempt to overturn the counting of Electoral College votes for Joe Biden. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson has more.
The vice president and U.S. senators just steps away from likely attack. Police beaten by rioters. Scenes that paint a fuller picture of the violent threat inside the U.S. Capitol during the January 6th riot, revealed in previously unreleased security footage shown by House impeachment managers on the opening day of their argument that former President Donald Trump was directly responsible for that riot. House impeachment manager Representative Jamie Raskin.
We will prove that the impeached president was no innocent bystander whose conduct was totally appropriate and should be a standard for future presidents, but that he incited this attack, and he saw it coming.
Impeachment managers arguing Trump's Stop the Steal rally ahead of the riot was not an isolated event, but the culmination of months of election fraud allegations and incitement of supporters to attack the electoral process. Democratic Representative Eric Swalwell.
This was never about one speech. He built this mob over many months with repeated messaging until they believed that they had been robbed of their vote and they would do anything to stop the certification.
Trump's electoral challenge failed in U.S. courts in the weeks before the riot, noted the House impeachment managers. Democratic Representative Madeline Dean.
Not a single court, not a single judge agreed that the election results were invalid or should be invalidated.
They laid out evidence they said shows the former president turned to his supporters to stop the Democratic process certifying Joe Biden the winner. Democratic Representative Stacey Plaskett.
Make no mistake, the violence was not just foreseeable to President Trump. The violence was what he deliberately encouraged.
Trump's lawyers present their defense on Friday. They argue Trump was exercising his right to free speech and cannot be held responsible for the chaos. Although critics say Trump's lawyers have struggled to make their case, it is unlikely Trump will be convicted. 17 Republican senators would have to join Democrats in finding him guilty. Brookings Institution fellow John Hudak.
They're beholden to the former president himself. They see that their own political fortunes depend on Trump voters coming out and voting for them in their own Senate races, particularly in Republican states. And so no matter what evidence House members, House managers are going to present at the trial, a significant number of Republicans will ignore them and still vote to acquit the president.
At stake is Trump's ability to run for federal office again. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Washington.
President Joe Biden had his first call as U.S. president with Xi Jinping, a two-hour conversation in which he pressed the Chinese leader about trade and Beijing's crackdown on democracy activists in Hong Kong, as well as other human rights concerns. Reuters' Gloria Tsou has more.
U.S. President Joe Biden spoke with Chinese President Xi Jinping for the first time since coming into office on Wednesday evening. Biden stressed human rights concerns and the importance of a free and open Indo-Pacific, while Xi warned that a confrontation between the two nations would be a disaster. Xi also urged that the two sides should reestablish the means to avoid misjudgments, according to the Chinese Foreign Ministry's account of the call. Biden emphasized what he called Beijing's coercive and unfair practices, including its crackdown in Hong Kong, reported human rights abuses in Xinjiang, and increasingly assertive actions in the region, including toward Taiwan, the White House said in a statement. But Xi maintained a hardline tone on Hong Kong, Xinjiang, and Taiwan, which he said were matters of sovereignty and territorial integrity. It was Xi's first call with a U.S. president since he spoke with former President Donald Trump last March. Since then, relations between the two countries have plunged to their worst level in decades, with Trump blaming China for the global health crisis, launching a trade war, sanctioning Chinese officials and firms perceived to be security threats, and challenging Beijing's territorial claims in the South China Sea. Chinese officials have expressed cautious optimism that bilateral relations will improve under Biden and urged Washington to meet Beijing halfway. But the Biden administration has made clear it will continue to maintain pressure on China while also pledging a more multilateral approach. A senior Biden official said the administration will look at adding new targeted restrictions on certain sensitive tech exports to China, and there would be no quick moves to lift Trump's tariffs on Chinese imports.
Gloria Tsou reporting. The two leaders spoke Wednesday just hours after Biden announced plans for a Pentagon task force to review U.S. national security strategy in China. Thanks for being with us. Thanks to our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team. It includes Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, Amy Heibel, and Doug Bernard. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Stay safe and enjoy the day ahead.